Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And Father, I thank you that you will be exalted, that you are in control, that eventually wars will cease and there will be peace on earth. We thank you that you are sovereign and in control. And we as a congregation, Lord, right now pray for those that are in Texas, those that have seen the sea moved and the earth changed. We pray for your peace down there. We pray for, Lord, there to be a great awakening to take place in Galveston and Houston, Lord. We pray that this would be used to exalt you, to bring glory to you. So work there and bless, send help and protect, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the great protection that you've given to each one of us, that you are our refuge and strength. You've been a strong rock to us for year after year, and we give you thanks for that this day. We pray, Lord, as we turn to your word now, that you would speak to us and continue to be our rock and our refuge. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, so you can flip open to 1 Corinthians 6. We've been teaching through the Bible now for almost 3 years. We go real verse by verse through the Bible on Wednesday night, and on Sundays we just look at just an idea usually, topical, 1, 2, maybe 3 verses, and so we're in chapter 6 this Wednesday, and where are we going to be on Wednesday? Fruitdale. We will not be here. So, 7 o'clock, Fruitdale. From this Wednesday forward, we will be at Fruitdale. So, if you came in late, you might want to mark that down. We are in chapter 6 on Wednesday, so we'll look at one verse today from chapter 6. It's verse 12. It says in verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Interesting verse. All things are lawful for me, Paul says, and he says it twice. You ever read something and you just think to yourself, that's never going to work? Some philosophy, some methodology, some idealistic ideology, and you just say, that is never going to work. I read something this past month like that. It came out of a periodical called the Chronicles of Higher Education. And they just look at universities around our country. And it was about a new president that took over this university called High Point University out there in North Carolina. It's a university of maybe 3,500 students or so. Not a huge university, not a small university, a medium-sized university. Well, this new president has a real different ideology when it comes to folks that attend that university. He says the folks that attend here, they're not students, they're customers. And they need to be treated like customers. And so, while you may not receive an education at High Point University, you will receive ice cream. What do I mean? Well, this president has decided every single day that there is a fleet of ice cream trucks that he sends out to his campus there, and they bring ice cream. Now, if you've been in college, you know that you're poor. You're just poor. You can't afford ice cream. You know, I was so poor in college that I actually ate my cereal with a fork to save on the milk. Pour it back in the container. I had six roommates. So we all shared the same milk, too, so. If you're here Wednesday, you know what I'm talking about. Sharing germs. So, you know, you're poor. So this guy, he said, well, we're going to give the ice cream away for free. Free ice cream, every student, all day, anytime you want it. Now, if you've been to college, you realize if anything is free, you're going to figure out how to live on that. You're going to just figure it out. And so these poor students are going to be eating the same flavor way too often. And so these trucks have access to over 500 different flavors of ice cream. Customer, got to keep them right. Now, we got to be realistic, though. Nobody can live on ice cream. I know I've tried. It doesn't work. Unhealthy. So he remodeled the cafeterias, and he installed hundreds of flat-screen TVs. On top of that, when you bring your student card there, that's your passport, everything, and you swipe your card there to get in, if it's your birthday, it signals the cook in back who bakes you a cake and brings it out, and they have a live band that will come out and sing you happy birthday. At the same time, a birthday card signed by the president, including Starbucks gift card money thing, is sent to your home address along with some balloons for every birthday of all 3,500 students. Incredible. But, you know, if you're eating ice cream and it's North Carolina, you might get a little cold. Well, no problem. This president has now installed a couple of giant hot tubs right in the center of this university. So if you get cold, just hop in the hot tub, no problem. But anyone that's been in a hot tub for a while, you know you start getting hungry again. No problem. He has set up these things called snack kiosks all over the university, full of bananas and pretzels and candy bars and whatever you want is in these snack kiosks. Once again, the cost? Free. Just use your card. Whatever you want to eat. Now, you might be thinking, well, you're not getting an education on that. What's the education? Well, here is his philosophy on education. He found that students would come to the university, and they would drive around too long, and they couldn't find a parking spot, and so they'd be late to class. Solution? Free valet parking for all students. Now, when I was in school, the problem wasn't trying to find a parking spot. The problem was getting up in the morning, actually getting to class. Solved. He now has wake-up calls and concierge service for every student there. Because it's the customer. And you hear this and you think, man, what is he thinking? Well, in this article, they asked him, what are you thinking? This is what he said, and I quote. This is the president. He says this. When students know that you care for them, they will reward you by doing well in the classroom. I think he believes in unicorns and the Oompa Loompa as well. At Peter Pan, I mean High Point University here. And then he goes on to say, and they will reward you by telling their friends to come, and then their parents will become big donors. I don't think so. Here's what's going to happen. Those kids are going to graduate from that school, and they will not get a job, and they will go live at home again, and they will wonder, Dad, where's the hot tub? Where's the free ice cream? Where's my birthday card? Where's my Starbucks?
Why aren't you singing to me this morning that dad's going to say, where's the door, son? Get out before I kill you. You look at this and you say, that will never work. Now, I spent a lot of time on this, explain that, because I want you guys to know very first, before anyone else knows, that I'm going back to college. Forget Oregon State, I'm a High Point Panther from now on. No, just kidding. You read about that and you say, no way, that'll never work. Are you kidding? That's never going to fly. Well, I read verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and I say, all things are lawful for me? All things are lawful. I say, that'll never fly. That can never work. Imagine for a second, Dad. Tomorrow morning, at the breakfast table, four kids are gathered around. You look at your kids and you say, kids, today, all things are lawful for you. All things. If you ask any question at all, the only answer that we can give you is yes. Imagine that. Dad, can I have ice cream for breakfast? Yes. Someone loves this message over there. I wish you guys all were. You take a lesson from him. Dad, can I have the entire second grade over tonight for a sleepover? Yes. Dad, can I go in the car and pick him up? Yes. Dad, can I go to the University of Oregon? No. Little Mark Scuzz, where's he at? You would say, you know what? That's chaos. That's never going to work. It's not going to fly. I read this verse, and I see Paul saying, all things are lawful for me. And I say, it's not going to work. And it's true, if you look at Christianity, it's true, we've been free. The Bible says very clearly, Jesus would say, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. This same thing will be repeated, we'll see at the end of the book of 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful for me. Now, Wednesday night we'll look a lot more what that means. That doesn't mean the Ten Commandments are off the books now. You can kill anyone you want. It doesn't mean that. Yeah, good, exactly. That would be bad. We'll look on Wednesday what it means, but what Paul is trying to get across is this. There's a misnomer about Christianity, that Christianity is all about do's and don'ts. Rules and regulations. That's not what Christianity is about. He's trying to answer that issue. And he says here, all things are lawful. And if you would have left it at that, it would have never worked. So, Paul gives two qualifiers to this. Two qualifiers that you've got to understand that make this philosophy a philosophy that is something very beautiful and a great way to live. The two qualifications. The first one, Paul says, not all things are expedient. That word for expedient means it doesn't get me where I'm going. It doesn't expedite me where I'm going. I would put it this way. Not all things will get you to your goal. And then the next thing he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The second thing is this. When you have freedom, when you're free to do anything, your freedom has got to be guarded. Those are the two things I want to look at. If you value your freedom, if you understand your freedom, in order for you to be truly free, number one, your freedom must be goal-oriented, and number two, your freedom must be guarded if you value your freedom. Let's take a look at the first one. Goal-oriented. Paul says here, all things are lawful for me, but not everything is expedient. Not everything is going to get me where I want to go. Not everything is going to help me pursue what God has for me. You don't, I don't, nobody just falls into their goals. Nobody does. They don't just happen. You don't free fall into something that you have a goal in life for. It takes effort. It takes work. When I was a senior in high school, I made the decision as a senior, took some placement test, came back, said I should be an engineer. So I applied to Oregon State, got accepted. Amazing as that may seem. Went to Oregon State. At that same time, all of my good friends, there was about six of them, they made this decision. They said, forget college. We're going to move to Bend, Oregon, get a big house, and we're going to go snowboarding every single day. Now, I had the freedom to do either one of those. I could have gone with my buddies and gone to Bend and gone snowboarding every single day with them. But I realized this. If I chose to do that, I've got the freedom to do it. If I chose to do that, then instead of becoming a mechanical engineer, I would have become a snowboarder in the Olympics. So, obvious for me. The decision was obvious. Engineering is much more important than that. I had to take certain freedoms that I had and say, I'm not going to use that freedom. I could have gone there, could have hung out with my buddies for a year in Bend, but I would have never gotten to the goal that I wanted to get to. That's what Paul is saying here. Understand, if you have goals, then there are going to be certain decisions, certain freedoms you give up in order to get to your goal, to expedite you where you want to get to. The older I get, and I'm getting old, he likes it. We're going to laugh track him, you know. The older I get, the simpler are my goals. I have very simple goals now. I have a goal that I'll have a strong, strong marriage. I have a goal that my kids will grow up to be godly and love Jesus. I have a goal that one day I'll be able to stand on this stage and balance bubbies up here to prove I can do it. I have simple goals now. And I think I might have this idealized vision of what life would look like in 20 years. When I look forward, okay, in 20 years, what's my goal? I think I might have it a little bit idealized. I have this vision in 20 years that all my kids will have moved out of my house. Probably not. It's a vision, a goal. And that at that time, my wife will be my best friend. Not just eating meals together. We will love being with each other. We'll enjoy each other's company. We'll be best friends. I have that goal. I have a goal that my daughters will walk down the aisle with a boy that at the very least I don't want to kill. The very least. And by the way, little boys, if you listen to this, I will find out everything you've done. Google, MySpace, Facebook, I will find out what you've done. I guarantee it. I will follow you. I will have you microchipped. I don't care what it is. If that doesn't work, know this. I have a passionate love for guns. Enough said. I have this goal to have a strong marriage. I have this goal to see my kids marry good, godly men. I have this goal to have, if the Lord tarries, grandkids. Little grandkids. And to spoil them rotten. Spoil them. When I have them, just feed them ice cream with Nerds on top and hot fudge. Just get them spun out in sugar and then send them home. There you go. Try to get that one to sleep. Good luck. Revenge. And when they disobey me, I'm going to say, that is so cute. He's got such leadership abilities. Look how he forges his own way. Just, you know, all that. I have those dreams. And I realize this. If I want to get there, it starts today. I don't fall into having a strong marriage. I don't fall into having daughters that grow up to be godly. I don't fall into those things. That doesn't just happen. I have to think about what freedoms I'm choosing and make sure I'm choosing them in a way that is expediting me to my goal. I got to choose what hobbies I get involved in. I've got to choose what kind of things and friends I hang out, what I allow into my house. I've got to choose those things correctly if I want to get to those goals, because they won't just happen. It doesn't just happen in life. Paul says, yeah, you can do whatever you want. All things are lawful for you. But understand this. Understand this. If you have goals, those goals should dictate your freedoms. Freedom must be goal-oriented. And I would challenge some in here. Go home and figure out where you want to be in 10 years. Where do I want to be in 10 years? What do I want for my kids? What do I want for my marriage? What do I want for whatever it is? Figure out what I want to be in 10 years and start saying today, what do I need to do to make that happen? All things are lawful, absolutely. But not everything is going to move you towards the goal God has for you. Strong marriages, godly kids, those kind of things. Paul says, absolutely, you can do what you want. But number one, freedom must be goal-oriented. Secondly, second half of that verse, he says this, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Freedom must be guarded. Your freedom must be guarded. Paul says, I can do anything that I want, but I will not be enslaved to anything. We're free in Christ, absolutely. However, there are certain things that you can decide to get involved in where those things can then take over your life, and they're your master from that point on. And so Paul says, I'm careful. I guard my freedom and what I choose to do to make sure that I'm not brought under the power of anything. For free. Let me give you some examples of this. Things that you're free to do but then can master you. Alcohol. As Christians, that's your decision. You're free in that. All things are lawful. You're free to make that choice. But beware. There is plenty a woman that has chosen to exercise their freedom where now they are mastered by it. It's called alcoholism. Every single person in here knows somebody that's an alcoholic. We all do. And it's ruining their life. What do you mean it's ruining my life, Matt? I'm having a great time going out Saturday night, Friday night. It's good. It's fun. There's nothing wrong with it. Really. Nothing wrong. Waking up in the back seat of a car halfway to Mexico covered in your own puke. Your wallet's missing. And the woman that stole it now has your identity and she just emptied your bank account. And when you sober up enough to figure it out, what do you say? I need another drink. You're mastered. Oh, you're free to choose that, but beware. Freedom must be guarded. Freedom must be guarded. Not just alcoholism, though. There are people that I believe are dictated and mastered by TV. We're free to choose what we want to watch on TV, absolutely. You're free. But there comes a point, I think, in certain people where TV begins to master them. It's like, I'm gonna schedule my life around some show. That means nothing. Let me just suggest TiVo, you know, if you struggle with that. Schedule my life around some show that means really in 5 years, who's gonna care? Who's gonna care about it? Nobody. Mastered by it. Where you can't just sit and have a conversation, you can't just sit and meditate, you can't just sit and think, you have to be entertained by some DVD, some movie, something. That's unhealthy. It's unhealthy. I call people like that, I call them vidiots. It's vidiots. Mastered. You're free to choose, but guard your freedom. Guard your freedom so you're not mastered by it. Sports can master people. I think Mark Scott's dad might be dominated by sports up here. And it's never the people that can actually play the sports. It's the person that couldn't play the sport, and now, you know, they're so into this one. I'm not saying this about Mark. He can so play sports. You should see him play football. Ping pong. It's never the person that can play the sport. It's the guy that couldn't play the sport, and now he's like the world's biggest fan. And if the team loses that next week, in order for that guy to get through the week, he's got to go to the doctor and get a prescription for Prozac because he's so depressed. You know? So pray for me. She is not looking good. I found people were inviting me over to the big game, not to watch football, but to watch me sinning. So I'm going to stay at home and sin with my wife instead. It can master people. Can be just mastered by a football game, and I think that's so stupid. I think that, but it still happens. What's wrong with me? Be careful. Paul would say, be careful. There are people, and there's nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with it. But there are people that are mastered by money, by their careers, by their work. They're mastered by it. And money is a hard master. It never satisfies. Working 60, 70, 80 hours a week to have the big house and the big car and everything like that, but your kids don't have a dad. Here's something to think about. I've never met a man or a woman over the age of 20, someone full grown, that has ever said to me, Matt, I'm so mad at my dad because he never bought me that toy, that G.I. Joe action figure with the kung fu grip. Because I didn't have that, I missed out on life. And now I'm in counseling, and hopefully I'll get over it. Never met that person. I don't think they exist. But I've met plenty of rich kids that have big dad issues because he was never there. Lots of them. Never a toy issue. Never. Paul would say here, be so careful. All things are lawful for you. Nothing wrong with money. Good to work. Got to have a career. But be oh so careful that it doesn't master you and drive you into the dirt, because that's what money does. Be careful. There are people that are mastered by gadgets. You know that guy? Gadget guy. He's got to have the newest gadgets. It's always just this. It's like that's what satisfies him. Like the drive to have some new gadget. Satellite navigation in his car. iPhone, G3 iPhone, by the way. MP3 player. He's got the Man vs. Wild GPS watch, even though the wildest area he'll ever get into is Riverside Park. Which is pretty wild at times, but, you know, you're going to need a taser there, a gun, not a watch, in order to take the wildlife there. They've got everything, and they've always got to show you it. You know, you'll ask them what time it is. Instead of looking at their GPS, you know, Man vs. Wild watch, they've got to pull out their G3 phone. Check this out. It syncs up with a server in Greenland. It's perfect GMT time. And I have this application where Steve Jobs reads the time in high def. Check it out. They've always got, you know, excuse to show it to you. We all know the guy. If you're saying, I don't know anyone like that, it's you. Turn off the iPhone. Turn off your MP3. Get rid of the watch. And this guy, and here's the thing, this is a pet peeve, and so I'm going to just let it out. The whole texting and emailing somebody when you're talking to someone else, stop it. That is rude. I mean, this is rude. And by the way, if I ever do that to you, I give you permission to grab my iPhone or whatever it is and smash it with a hammer, because I could be that kind of geek. So you can smash it. And that's a warning to you as well, because in love, I may have to help you out. Mastered by things. It's like you just got to have the gadgets. It's gadgets master them, and it's like the next gadget's going to make me happy. Not so. You're free. Absolutely. Some people are mastered by sleep. There's just things that master you. Paul says this, you know what? All things are lawful for me, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of any of them. I'm not going to let those things master me. I'm not. All right, Matt. I'm mastered. I've made decisions in my life where I've been brought under the power of something, money, drugs, something. Maybe it's something that is really lawful and really okay and all that kind of stuff. Like money, TV, entertainment, gadgets, whatever. I'm under the or maybe it's the other side where it's illegal stuff. Stuff that's not good. And now it's mastering me. I can't get away from it. I can't seem to break it. What do I do? What do you do when you're mastered by something? Let me read for you. You can flip over there and remind you of something. It's Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is possibly the most important chapter on the Christian walk. It's a high point. In verse 13, it says this. It says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die." If that stuff is mastering you, it's going to drive you into the dirt. If you live after those things, if it has reign over you, rules over you, it's going to kill you. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That word for mortify is the Greek word thanateo. It's the original language of the Greek New Testament. It means this: kill, destroy, annihilate, take out. It's one of the strongest words in the Greek language. If there's something that's killing me, mastering me, the Bible says you don't massage it, you don't meditate on it, you don't think about it. The Bible says you mortify it. It's a theme throughout Scripture. Let me read some other verses to you. You don't have to turn there. Let me read Galatians 5:24 to you. Says this, Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the passions and lusts." Not talked about it, crucified it. Not thought about it, crucified it, killed it, annihilated it, destroyed it. Let me read another one, Ephesians 4:22, starting in verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." That verse 22, "you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts." You put it off. You get rid of it. You destroy it. Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice, with every ounce of strength that you have, you put it away." Colossians 3, verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Mortify it. Back to Romans 8. If you live after the flesh, if these things are mastering you, understand what's going to happen. It's going to kill you. It's going to drive you into the ground. That's not where life is. You're no longer free. It rules you. So, what do you do? "But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Here's the deal. If, through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you're going to live. I believe there are times in a man or a woman's life where God's Spirit reveals something to us that is mastering us, that owns us. And if we will mortify it, go radical, get nuts on that thing, then you're going to live. I believe there are moments, key times in the life of the believer where God says, deal with this thing. This thing is owning you. It's destroying you. Deal with it. And if we choose, nah, next time, then it just works its way in the fabric of your life that much deeper. But if you'll respond, when God's Spirit reveals it to you and say, "I'm going to kill it," great power is released right then, right there, for you to be freed. I've seen it. I've experienced it. It's through the Spirit you mortify. God reveals something. Matt, that thing is owning you. You are not free anymore. It's driving you into the ground. If I'll then go radical, what I mean by go radical, if that thing that's owning you comes through a computer screen. You go radical. You burn that computer. And that thing that's owning you comes through a computer or a TV screen, rather. You take an axe to that TV. You mortify it. Strong language. You mortify it. If that thing that's owning you comes through a cell phone, you change your number and you change your answering machine to say something like this. Hello, this is so-and-so. And I'm a child of God. And if you are calling to stumble me, then Jesus Christ is mad at you. And he says, it's better that a millstone be tied around your neck and for you to be flung in the sea than to stumble me. And if it's anything else, I'd love to get back to you. God bless you. That's what you do. You mortify it. When something owns you and God's Spirit reveals it to you, you don't play and think, oh, next time. Because it's just working its roots deeper into you. It's through the Spirit. God gives you strength to say, today I'm done with that. Today I'm going to root that out. I'm going to chop that down. I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to mortify it because I want to be free. I want to live. That's what I want to do. And it's owning me. And it's mastering me. And I don't want it anymore. I believe there's moments God gives to us when the Spirit brings those things up, and if you'll respond, great power will be released. And so, after I'm through with this message and I pray, I'm going to have leadership come down here, and we'll be in here and on the sides or wherever. And if something has been owning you, mastering you, you say, I don't want to be owned by this any longer, come up here and get prayed for. Come up here, partner with one of us. We're going to be praying for you. We're going to write down your name and your number. We want to get together with you. We want to help you. We want to see those bonds mortified, killed. Because part of the beautiful thing of the Christian walk is Galatians chapter 6, which says, if you see somebody that's being, well, in my own terms, owned in sin, help them. We want to help you. I don't want to see you killed. I don't want to see you destroyed. I want to see you freed up to what Christ has for you, to get to your goals. To get to the goals that God has for you. So come up here, be prayed for, and watch and see great power released for you. And Father, I do thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, for those right now that are battling pride. That are saying, I can't do that. I don't want people to know. I don't want people to think. I pray right now that those individuals would understand that God gives grace to the humble, but God resists the proud. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. I pray, Lord, for each one of us in here. I pray that we would be so careful with our freedom, that we would be looking further than today, the pleasures temporary that today may bring, that we would have goals. This is where I want to be, Jesus, by your strength and by your power. This is what I want for my kids. This is what I want for my family. Teach me and train me what freedoms I should not be indulging in for the good of my family, for the good of myself. I pray that we would be a group of people that guard our freedom. Never allowing things that are okay to master us. That we would have money, TV, and gadgets, and they would be servants for us. Never masters to us. Give us wisdom, Lord. We need it. Bless us as we go. May we be a group of people that are free in Christ. Never brought under the power of something that dominates us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.